scripture reading today comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, the final verses of the final chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Put things in order. Respond to my encouragement. Be in harmony with each other and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Say hello to each other with a holy kiss. All God's people say hello to you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Last Sunday, we listened in on a conversation between the risen Lord and Simon Peter, in which Jesus asked Simon Peter three times if he loved him. Each time, Simon Peter affirmed his love for his Lord. Each time, Jesus responded by telling Simon to tend his sheep, to feed his flock. That was Simon's assignment: to care for and nurture the vulnerable, to make the compassion of Christ known to those who have been ignored and forgotten or oppressed. It wasn't just Simon Peter's assignment. It's our assignment too. In case you made like Thomas and skipped class last Sunday, let me review our assignment. We too are to care for the vulnerable, making the compassion of Christ known to all who are isolated as if they were Jesus' own lambs. Do you understand the assignment? Are you ready to hand in your homework? Simon Peter submitted his paper on the issue. He tended Jesus' sheep by standing and boldly proclaiming the gospel message at Pentecost. He tended Jesus' sheep with compassion in the two New Testament epistles credited to him with his affirmation and inclusion of those who had been forgotten by everybody else. I would say he did more than understand the assignment. I'd say he aced it. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody's homework, seeing what you have written, stuff you have done to tend Jesus' sheep. That's our assignment. It comes from that conversation between the risen Lord and Simon Peter. And now it's finals week. Having understood our assignment and done the homework, it's time to put the lessons to work. The semester is ending, and it's time to demonstrate we have mastered the skills to the degree that we can apply them in our daily living. This morning's scripture reading is a good text for finals week. It is the closing verses of the Apostle Paul's second epistle or letter to the Corinthians. This is Paul, the professor, saying goodbye to his class at the end of his lectures. He is fully aware of the reviews that students are about to post online about his class and him. Paul's class, the Corinthian church, was his problem child. They were a divided, arguing, and defiant congregation. The congregation didn't particularly take issue with what Paul had to say. They just felt he had no right in saying it. Professor Paul doesn't take it personally, responding, "Well, it ain't about me." After all of his advice and teaching, Paul concludes the semester with a sincere longing for the good of his class, desiring that they could all be one, desiring that they could all become all they could be, for them to reach their divinely appointed purpose together. Paraphrase the closing words of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. He says, "Straighten up. Do what I say and stop your fussing. Then you will have encountered the presence of the God of love and peace among you." That's what Paul wanted for them: to know the fullness of the character of God and to reflect it in their lives together as a community. Here's their final exam. To begin with, Paul says, "Greet each other with a holy kiss." Now, we are reminded that Paul was suggesting a greeting that was a sincere, tangible expression of high regard for the other person. Unless there is a close personal relationship or you played on Team Italy in the World Baseball Classic, there's probably not much kissing going on when we greet one another. But the question is, do our greetings offer a sincere, tangible expression of high regard for the other person? I think Professor Paul would say that that is the beginning of knowing and making known the full character of God, who is primarily relational in being. That's where our final exam begins. After Paul tells the Corinthians how to say hello, he models how to say goodbye. His final words are a benediction or a blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Blessing somebody as you conclude a visit might sound as awkward as greeting them with a kiss. Oh, we are comfortable enough saying bless you if somebody sneezes. But what would we think of blessing someone without the sneeze? What is a blessing? What does it mean to bless someone? Why would that be part of our final exam? Did we cover that in class? Can anybody do it, or is that graduate level stuff? Perhaps a pastoral function. Here's a question that might bring the concept of blessing more into focus. Have you ever been blessed by someone? That sets blessing in a less intimidating sounding context. Sure, we've been blessed countless times. People have shown us kindness or offered us needed assistance. But remember, class, we're dealing with Professor Paul here, and that answer would only get you partial credit on his final exam. He'd be quick to point out the difference. A kindness gives us something, but a blessing urges us to be something, which for most of us means changing in some way. A blessing lets loose a spiritual presence that can promote and foster change, a power of rearrangement in our domain. It's as if we've opened the door to our house and a specialist in interior design and redecoration has moved in. Scary thought, isn't it? That is Paul's prayer for the Corinthians, a blessing for those who had cursed him. He is praying that they know more fully the character of God, God's grace, love, and fellowship, and that it will transform how they function in community with one another. His desire is that they will be awakened to the very presence of God with them. And he is commending them into the full care and transforming power of that ever-present God. He is urging them to be something, to be changed. Paul is not only affirming that he believes in them, he also believes God believes in them. And once more for them, something better. He is offering his blessings and asking God to bless them. A blessing is much more than just an act of kindness. It is an affirmation of our interconnectedness with one another. It is the creation of an opportunity for the power of that connection to pour through our lives and into the lives of others. I'm not sure which came first, our loss of the art of blessing one another or the indifference that isolation creates between each of us. Whichever happened first, a blessing is a sure way to overcome that sense of isolation. And overcoming isolation is at the very heart of our final exam. Can we do that? What chapter of the textbook was that covered in? Professor Paul insists a blessing is not about technique, but a presence that we embody. The only things we really need, are a loving heart, a compassionate mind, and an open spirit. Taking notes? What was that? A loving heart, a compassionate mind, and an open spirit. The class moans. That's the only things we need, but it's the hardest things. But hey, this is the final exam. And our learning objective in faith is not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing to others. We are all innately worthy and capable of blessing others. Blessing is not a special power for only a few. David Spangler writes, "A blessing can look like anything. It can take any shape or none at all. It can be as simple as a glance, a choice of thoughts, a way of listening, a tone of voice. It can be laying on of hands, an embrace. It can be a ritual. It can be something we say, a special mantra, or just an everyday conversation. It can be an object we give or time and energy we offer. It can be obvious or it can be subtle. The essential element and ingredient of a blessing is the connection it establishes between the one extending it and the one receiving it. It has to be more, you see, than a quote on a daily affirmation calendar or a fortune cookie or candy wrapper. It has to connect hearts and souls involved in the exchange of the blessing. Here's a secret about Professor Paul's final exam. Offering a blessing really isn't about us at all. We don't have to be perfect, powerful, or skilled. The Spirit transcends all techniques and simply flows wherever there is love, wherever there is willingness to act on behalf of another person, so that that person's life is eased and made more graceful, and the way made more clear and more joyous for them. At the end of a worship service and a live stream, when I say, "Be well," I'm saying that I want wholeness for you in all things, and all things to be well for you. It says, I believe God desires the same thing for you. Be well is my way of saying, bless you. Even when spoken or heard virtually, it unleashes the power of God's love and Spirit to connect our hearts and souls. When you offer words of affirmation to someone, you're saying that you believe in them, and your words empower them to be more and do more and to reach their divine potential. When your hearts connect with theirs, you are simply saying, bless you. It's finals week, and you've got this. You have a loving heart, compassionate mind, and an open spirit. Just let that flow freely, connecting you to others, fellowship,